when From the Top was approached to do a show with one of the most musically active synagogues in the Boston area, we were really excited to take on a Jewish-themed program. The result is this week's show and podcast. Our young musicians perform classical music, either written by Jewish composers or written with Jewish themes, and it's great stuff. From Gershwin to the spiritual music of Ernst Bloch, and even a little bit of klezmer. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Enjoy.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome. Today, we're coming to you from one of the Boston area's most vibrant Jewish communities. We're at Temple Beth Elohim in Wellesley, Massachusetts. Our thanks to this congregation and to the Boston Jewish Music Festival for making this show possible. In honor of our being here, we've put together our very own custom-made From the Top Hamish Simcha. That's Yiddish for heartwarming celebration. All the young musicians on today's show will be performing Jewish music or music by Jewish composers. There'll be music by Ernest Bloch, George Gershwin, and Darius Milhaud. And also two new pieces written by young Jewish composers, a setting of a poem by Hanna Senish, a Jewish Hungarian who was killed in World War II and who's a national heroine in Israel. That's by a 16-year-old from Scarsdale, New York, and a lively klezmer-inspired finale written by a From the Top alum from here in the Boston area. And speaking of lively, we're going to start out with a pair of dance-influenced pieces by a Czech composer of Jewish-German heritage, Erwin Schulhoff. To play them, we have the Katalmage String Quartet, all seniors at the Walnut Hill School in nearby Natick, Massachusetts. Carolyn Joyner and Claire Walter, violins, Chris Rogers Beadle, viola, and Erica Ogihara, our cellist. From five pieces by Erwin Schulhoff, here are the first, A la Valse Viennese, and the fifth, A la Tarantella.
Thank you.
Talmadge Quartet from the Walnut Hill School in Natick, Massachusetts, 17 and 18 years old. They performed the slightly twisted Viennese waltz and the tarantella from Erwin Schulhoff's Five Pieces. These guys are coached by Laura Thielke. Wonderful performance, you guys. Just beautiful. Well, beautiful. Twisted, in a nice way. Claire, this composer, Erwin Schulhoff, isn't as well known as some of the others we're going to be hearing today. What can you tell us about him?
Schulhoff was one of a handful of composers whose careers were untimely terminated by the rise of Nazism. But apparently he really had a thing for jazz clubs. He was an avid jazz club attendee. Mm-hmm. He wrote a lot about enjoying jazz. So
there's a lot of party in that music. Absolutely, I can hear it. Erica, I understand that playing chamber music you feel has not only helped you grow musically, but personally.
Yes, before I played chamber music, I was a very different person. And to put it bluntly, it was always me, 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 me. So, I mean, playing in a chamber group has really changed the way I look at not only everybody else, but myself, in that it's not, unfortunately, always about me. But it's definitely, we're all, the four of us are really teaming up together to work as one unit, and I think it's this experience has really helped me.
Absolutely. You all talk about something that Claire describes as the cycle of inspiration, the fact that you were all inspired early on, and you're now trying to pass that inspiration on. Caroline, for you, that cycle started with your parents.
Yes, I come from a very artistically oriented family. My father is an opera singer. My mother is a bassoonist. They both teach. And my sister is majoring in musical theater. We kind of say she went to the dark side. But, but I, from a young age, I was surrounded by all sorts of music. And I've been really hoping in my experience as a chamber musician and being able to sort of hope for my future in music that I'll be able to share that with as many people as possible.
And Chris, you're paying it forward not only through performance, but by inspiring by teaching. You've been through From the Top's Center for the Development of Arts Leaders.
Yeah, so a few years ago, we went to a public school in Boston, and we taught them how to play chamber music. I mean, I've done it a few summers, but I didn't think I was really qualified to be a teacher. But together, we kind of figured out how to go about it. The kids were already great at their instruments, but it was definitely a huge learning experience for me, and it was just, it felt great to be able to pass it on.
Absolutely. Well, passing it on, an inspired performance, and inspiring our friends here at the Temple, and great work on stage and off. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
The teenage members of the Talmadge String Quartet studying at the Walnut Hill School for the Arts in neighboring Natick, Massachusetts.
Learn more about From the Top's arts leadership workshops as well as our outreach ideas for young musicians at fromthetop.org. Over the last 10 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. We're at Temple Beth Elohim in Wellesley, Massachusetts, celebrating Jewish music and music by Jewish composers. Next, music by Darius Mio, the jazz-influenced composer born in Marseille to a Jewish family from Aix-en-Provence. We're going to hear the final movement, Brasileiro, from Scaramouche, the suite named after one of the clown characters in Italian Commedia dell'arte. And to perform it, an 18-year-old clarinetist from Macedonia, now studying here in the United States. This is Martin Kotsev. Martin Kotsev, 18 years old, our clarinetist, played the Brasileira movement from Scaramouche by Darius Mio. Martin is from Macedonia, now studying at the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan. He's also one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Martin, you come from a family full of clarinet players. How far does this line go back?
Oh, so my father plays clarinet, my grandfather, and my brother. That's how I started to play, because I was always listening to them. They were playing home, like they were preparing for weddings and gigs with my grandfather and my father. And that's how, like, when I was 8 years old, my father take me to the music school, and that's how I started to play clarinet.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned your family doing a lot of wedding gigs and probably a lot of folk music, I would imagine. There was a disagreement in your family about whether you should pursue folk music in the style of your grandfather and your father, or classical music. And your mom had some advice.
Yeah. Like, before I come to Interlochen, my father was telling me, no, you should not go play classical music because there's no money in the classical music. And they told me you should play folk because you can make for a living, you can play with us, and it's really fun. And my mother said, no, I'm not going to let my son to play folk music with you guys. I want him to play classical music. So that's why I applied. She wanted me to apply to Interlochen. And she said, go away from your father and your grandfather because
nice.
They're not gonna, because they really wanted me to play folk music.
Now you're at the Interlochen Arts Academy, and in large part because your older brother was already studying there. He has since moved on to the San Francisco Conservatory. I know that being at Interlochen was really hard for you at first, and that your brother really, really helped you out.
Yeah, when I came to Interlochen, it was really hard because I didn't speak any English, and I didn't have any friends. And I couldn't communicate with people. and with my teachers, and I didn't understand anything on the class. So I'm really helpful to my brother because he was here with me. He helped me with my homework. He was with me on meetings so many times to translate things for me. And I was ready to go home the first month when I went to Interlaken. And my brother said, no, you have to stay. I know it's hard, but you can do it, he said. He was here next to me. He was saying, no, you can do it. You're not going to go home.
Even though he's now out in San Francisco, he's still helping you out in lots of ways. Here's what your big brother, Atanas, had to say.
Well, me and Martin, we're in touch like every day now. Doesn't matter because I'm at San Francisco now. And I'm trying to help him in any possible way. Doesn't matter if it's with school or if it's with financial aid. Basically, like with everything. Most of the times, almost always, I do care for Martin more than I do for myself.
That sounds like a very, very strong bond between you guys. Well, very nice playing with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Martin Kotsev, 18-year-old clarinetist from Macedonia, now studying at the Interlaken Arts Academy in Michigan. So far, we've heard music by two Jewish composers, but music not necessarily tied to the composer's Judaic experience. We're about to delve deeply into the core of Jewish music, where Jewish themes are at the center of the composer's intent. Before our next young musician performs the music of Ernest Bloch, let's hear three prominent living Jewish composers talk about the connection between their cultural heritage and their music.
My name is Osvaldo Golijov, and I grew up in Argentina, but as part of a tightly knit community of Eastern European Jews. And I think the music that was sung in my synagogue when I was a little kid, and I even arranged a lot of prayers for the choir of the synagogue, has influenced me until today. So, for instance, this movement of dreams and prayers of Isaac the Blind does take a prayer from the High Holidays, a prayer that describes God as a shepherd who counts his sheep and decides which ones will live and which ones will die. In Dreams and Prayers of Isaac the Blind, I tried to write a sort of an epic story of the Jews, at least of the Ashkenazi stream of Judaism, and metaphorically speaking, write in Aramaic, in Yiddish, and in Hebrew in different moments of the piece. And when you hear the clarinet, you hear that Yiddish which people describe here as klezmer.
My name is Shulamit Ran. I'm an Israeli composer. The United States, Chicago specifically, has been home to me for many years now. I don't think of writing music that is Jewish or, in my case, Israeli. I just think of writing music. But I grew up in Israel. I go back there periodically, and certainly in many important ways, it is the home that is in the heart. And there's no question that all of those things, in one way or another, enter the musical world for me. And Mirage is one of those works. I recall someone once saying to me that listening to Mirage felt like a walk through Jerusalem. And of course, that was not at all part of my thinking. And yet, I suppose in some elusive, intangible way, it is there in that piece. Probably something there evokes music of the Middle East, but coming through the particular filter that is me.
My name is Hankus Netsky. I am the chair of contemporary improvisation at New England Conservatory and the founder and director of the Klezmer Conservatory Band. As a composer, I very often go to Jewish music as a source, but in particular Eastern European Jewish music. I find it to be a very, very rich wellspring for my own creative background, and in fact, it is my family background too. My great-grandfather was a Yiddish theater actor and a batchin, a wedding entertainer, and my grandfather and five of my uncles were Jewish wedding musicians. This piece, a dudele, which means a song for you, is really a vehicle for me to explore a bunch of aspects of Eastern European Jewish music, which I consider a world unto itself. There's cantorial music, chazones, Hasidic music, and klezmer music. Those are three of the components, and they're all here and put into this folk song. A dudele was composed by Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, a Hasidic master from about 200 years ago, from Berdichev, which is in the Ukraine. And in it, he uses prayer melodies and then dance melodies. So it was a perfect vehicle for cantor Yitzchak Meir Helfgott, who is from a Hasidic background, has a fantastic chazanist background, cantorial background, and also has an operatic background. His foil in this is Itzhak Perlman, who is a violinist who also has an extremely deep Jewish background in addition to his incredible virtuosity on the violin.
Now, please welcome from Glendale, California, 18-year-old cellist Eddie Pogosyan. Eddie, tell everyone what piece by Bloch you've brought for us to perform together.
Today, Mr. O'Reilly and I will be playing Prayer, written by Ernest Bloch. Thank you.
18-year-old cellist Eddie Pogosian from Glendale, California, who performed Prayer from Ernest Bloch's From Jewish Life. Well, the audience didn't want to even interrupt your meditation there, Eddie. It's quite beautiful and concentrated. Really enjoyed that. Tell the story about how you were nervous when you had to make a short speech before playing this piece.
Two summers ago, I was performing the same piece, and I was supposed to give a short speech about it beforehand. And I was basically saying how this piece is a lot about suffering, and as Bloch does that a lot in his music, tries to convey the emotion of human suffering through the music. And I was basically saying how, as a performer, it would be my job to convey that emotion, which didn't sound too fun. But and then at the end of my speech, I do that thing where I get nervous and I make awful jokes. And so at the part where you say thank you very much, I hope you enjoy, I said thank you very much and I hope you suffer. So
still works 2 years later. You were telling me that as an 18-year-old living in America, you never really suffered. How do you approach this music then? What are you thinking about?
Yeah, that was actually when I was 16 and I first played this piece, you know, I thought to myself, you know, I've been very lucky and fortunate to have a good life. And, you know, I didn't necessarily have the emotions that I was supposed to convey in this piece. And, you know, it was a journey to try to find and channel the proper emotions needed to play this piece. And eventually, I went back in my culture, my heritage, and I'm Armenian. And actually, just a couple of generations back, my great-grandfather was the only living survivor from his family in the Armenian genocide, which actually in a month, it'll be 100 years. And so that is not something that was, you know, to me, suffering, but, you know, in my family and in my bloodline, something that was very real. And so that helped a lot.
Yes. Your parents are immigrants to America, which hasn't been easy for them. What have they shared with you about that experience?
Yeah, so my parents grew up in a very different environment that I did from in Soviet times. And so when they came over here and raised me as a child, you know, they jokingly call me the experiment child because they don't know how, you know, how it works here compared to there. It's very different cultures. And so it's been a journey for both me and for my parents to have me grow up here in America. And it's been very different than what they experienced when they were kids.
We actually spoke with your dad about the difference between his experiences in schools in Soviet Armenia and yours.
Well, I grew up in Armenia as a Soviet kid, and there was no freedom. But at the same time, there was a great, great appreciation for the arts. My native city of Yerevan had over 40 absolutely free music schools. At the same time, I was a typical Soviet kid. You never dared to express your own opinion. The emphasis was on what is wrong. So when I look now at Eddie's upbringing in America, I can see, and I was actually really jealous taking him to preschool when he was 3-4 years old, because there was such a feeling of positivity. I wish I could be enrolled in that school. I missed being you know, teachers listening to me, teachers asking opinion of these little boys and girls, and the children were not afraid of their teacher. They loved their teacher. I didn't know what it meant to love my teacher in my school.
Well, you have parents who are both lovable teachers, violinists, who teach every summer at an amazing place, the Apple Hill Center for Chamber Music in New Hampshire. Tell everybody about the intention behind the music in the camp and, of course, your lifetime experiences there.
Yes, so the Apple Hill Center for Chamber Music is a summer chamber music place in New Hampshire on a farm. And I've actually been there every single summer of my life, so it's been 18 years. And it's a very special place, and their objective is playing for peace. And so what they do is they give scholarships to people all around the world so that they can all come to a little camp in New Hampshire and play chamber music with each other for 2 weeks. So they give scholarships to people in Syria, Jordan, Israel, you know, people that would have never met if it wasn't for this program. And so what you'll see is chamber groups in New Hampshire with people, you know, from nations that are fighting, but, you know, they get to be really, really close through that connection of chamber music, and it's a really beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, and it's made quite an impression on you. I can hear your diplomacy and embrace of world culture and peace, and it was a wonderful performance. Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you.
Eddie Pogosian, 18 years old, our cellist from Glendale, California.
Funding for the appearance of Samuel Dylan Rossner, the young composer and tenor appearing in the second half of today's program, is provided in part by the ASCAP Foundation Irving Caesar Fund. The ASCAP Foundation, dedicated to nurturing the music talent of tomorrow.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts play a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians, as well as NPR listeners. From New England Conservatory, where young artists and teachers are transforming classical music. Online at necmusic.edu. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. jkcf.org. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Temple Beth Elohim in Wellesley, Massachusetts. This program, featuring Jewish music and music by Jewish composers, is made possible by Temple Beth Elohim and the Boston Jewish Music Festival. Special thanks to cantor Jody Suffren, Joey Barron, Gloria Rose, and the Temple Beth Elohim committee members and event producers. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Now to play the music of George Gershwin, please welcome from Irvine, California, the 12-year-old violinist, Kevin Mura. Kevin, welcome to the program. Tell everybody what we're going to play together.
We're going to be playing the second and third prelude from Three Preludes by George Gershwin. Thank you.
Kevin Mura, 12 years old, played two of George Gershwin's three preludes arranged for violin and piano by Yasha Heifetz. Kevin is from Irvine, California. Kevin, I'm going to say that it will come as no surprise to our audience the meticulousness and the beauty of the detail work of your violin playing that you are also a Lego master. There's actually a Lego model of you in Miniland, the Legoland in California. Is that true?
Yes. I've really been interested in Lego since I was young. And when I was 5, I entered into a Lego competition at Legoland, California. And I surprisingly won. And one of the prizes was that I could place a Lego minifigure of myself anywhere in Miniland, which is the mini Lego city that they have in Legoland. So that was pretty much the age when I was really starting to get into violin. And so I decided to put my little minifigure in the Hollywood Bowl. So it's a really exciting thing for me.
It was very sort of a cusp experience there. Tell the story. I mean, Legos and music, it's been a struggle, about how another big Lego competition almost got in the way of your music.
When I was 8, I was preparing for my first appearance with orchestra. And around the same time, I entered into the National Harry Potter Build-Off. And so I found out that I was playing with the orchestra maybe about 2 weeks before I found out about the Lego competition. So then when I found out that I was a finalist, I was really excited. But then suddenly I realized that the day of the Lego competition was on the same day as the dress rehearsal for my performance. So I was really shocked. And I felt that I had to pick between Lego or violin. Oh,
the eternal struggle, really.
So in the end, I managed to leave dress rehearsal early, and we drove all the way to the Lego competition, and I showed up with my violin slung over my shoulder.
There you go. You're on the cutting edge of technology with your music lessons, which is fascinating. Tell everybody about that.
My teacher, Miss Danielle Ballen, recently moved to Michigan, and now she's a professor at the University of Michigan. So I've been studying violin with her in Los Angeles, so now that we are separated by this huge gap, Ms. Ballen flies back once a month to give us, her studio in Los Angeles, lessons. So then to fill in the gap, the Colburn School was very kind and bought this machine called Life Size. And it's kind of like a really advanced version of Skype. And it has two gigantic television screens. And on one, I can see myself, which is what she can see. And also on the other side, I can see her. So it's pretty much long-distance lesson machine, I guess.
And full circle, too, because having your lessons on the Jumbotron will soon enough see you on the Jumbotron at the Hollywood Bowl. So there we have it. Thank you, Kevin. Beautiful playing.
Thanks
for being with us. Kevin Mura, 12-year-old violinist from Irvine, California.
Podcasts are From the Top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week at fromthetop.org.
And now we're going to focus on the music of two young Jewish composers, but let's set the stage by hearing from a slightly older but still young fellow who's a composer and student rabbi here at Temple Beth Elohim. Noah Aronson is creating music for Jewish services that's less based on the cantorial traditions of Eastern Europe and more in the American folk and pop music he grew up with.
My goal as a Jewish musician and as a Jewish composer is to take ancient texts and make them relevant in a musical context that is modern. And so the musical language that I grew up with was American music and jazz, musical theater, popular music. So that's the language that I use to create music now. A lot of the Jewish liturgy was written with a rhyme scheme or written with a certain rhythmic pattern, so it actually makes it very easy to create musical settings of a lot of the liturgy.
Now, please welcome a 16-year-old composer and tenor from Scarsdale, New York, Samuel Dylan Rosner. Sam, you're going to sing your own composition, which is a setting of a poem, Hashrei Hagafur, Blessed is the Match, by Hannah Senesh. Would you tell us about the poet, first of all?
Sure. So Hannah Senesh grew up in Hungary, eventually moved to Israel, but as the Holocaust started, she felt a mission to help her fellow Jews in need. So she parachuted into Yugoslavia to aid the resistance in fighting the Nazis and liberating Hungarian Jews from the concentration camps. However, she was captured, tortured, and shot by firing squad at the age of only 23. And her bravery and optimism and strength all inspire me so much, and I wanted to pay an homage to her through this piece.
The poem you have set is quite short. Would you read us an English translation?
Sure. Blessed is the match, consumed in kindling flame. Blessed is the flame that burns in the secret fastness of the heart. Blessed is the heart with strength to stop its beating for honor's sake. Blessed is the match consumed in kindling flame.
Samuel Dylan Rosner, 16 years old, from Scarsdale, New York, performed his own composition, Hashrei Hagafur, Blessed is the Match, a setting of a poem by Hannah Senesh. Sam, this is just gorgeous, just
Thank
beautiful
you.
Composition, and bringing that poetry to life obviously had such a profound effect on you, and affected us all, really. Sam, this won't be a surprise, having just heard your expressive voice, but you've studied cantorial singing at your own synagogue in Scarsdale, and word has it that you were performing some cantorial duties in a beautiful setting outside last summer. What am I referring to?
Yeah, so I spent this summer at the Boston University Tanglewood Institute. I made two friends, and we really became pretty inseparable. We were all Jewish and all had this passion for singing. And so we wanted to bring that to Tanglewood by creating a new thing for Friday night called Tangle Shabbat. For those of you who don't know, Shabbat is the Jewish Sabbath service. And so most Friday nights, Jews spend at home with our families saying a few preliminary prayers and then having a meal. So we decided to bring that outside at Tanglewood on the benches. And as the sun was setting, we'd be singing these Shabbat prayers, these songs, and just really celebrating life with friends. It gathered, by the end, very large crowds of about 60. Most of the people who came were not Jewish. It really helped to show the unifying power of music.
Those Shabbats were very moving on the lawn at Tanglewood, but you've had many other quite moving experiences, like when you've traveled to Israel. You had a wonderfully moving experience visiting Hannah Senish's grave. Tell everybody about that.
This was about the time where I'd started composing this piece. And so I had the opportunity to see Israel through her eyes and to be at her gravestone. The woman that I admire so much was so compelling. We sang a setting of her poem, Eli Eli, in English, My God, My God. I put a stone on her grave, which is the Israeli equivalent of in America when you put a flower on someone's grave. And I was practically in tears just from feeling her presence there beneath me. And in a moment like that, with Jews around me, I felt as though I was part of the new face of Judaism, keeping Jewish culture, the Jewish spirit, and the Jewish religion alive.
Well, Hannah lives on in your voice and in your compositions. Thank you, Samuel.
Thank you very much.
Samuel Dylan Rosner, 16 years old, our tenor from Scarsdale, New York. And now for that extraordinarily rousing closing number we promised. To introduce it, the composer and alum of From the Top, Jeremiah Klarman. Jeremiah, tell us the name of this piece.
The piece is called Gresser wie das Leben, and it's Yiddish for larger than life.
Somebody very close to you was your larger than life inspiration for this, yes?
Yes, I wrote it in memory of my grandfather. He was a wonderful man. It was very special to me.
Well, this is a very special and quite arousing piece. We're very, very happy you wrote it and very happy to have it on the program today. You've written this to be performed by all the young musicians on today's show. I'll be joining in on the piano. It's our foot-stomping way to end this show of Jewish music and music by Jewish composers. I want to thank all of our young performers and thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And okay, everybody, we're going to take this from the top. Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with Lauren Queso, John Escobar, Dan Hallis, Chris Rando, and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. Thanks to Hank Osnetsky, founder and director of the Klezmer Conservatory Band, for helping out Jeremiah Klarman with his composition. Special thanks to Adeline Sear for producing the piece on living Jewish composers and their influences. From the Top is an independent, nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from the May Family Foundation, supporting Fountain House, committed to providing opportunities for people with mental illness to live, work, and learn through a community of mutual support. More information is available at fountainhouse.org. And from Emily and Antoine Van Ochtmail, supporting New Futures, which works to help low-income D.C. area youth graduate from community college or certificate programs and become financially self-sufficient. Information is available at newfuturesdc.org.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.
And now for a little bonus content, my break piece from the show. Enjoy.